last day of the year. We're in church together. Well done. As we believe for miracles, sometimes we... Who's ever asked the question, why don't we see more miracles? Who's been praying for things? And sometimes we're perplexed as to God's purpose. And I don't think there's any formula to miracles. I think God's sovereign. I think He does what His good and perfect will is. But what I do know is that God can work through us when we position ourselves for Him to work. And sometimes miracles don't happen. Because we've just been through Christmas, we haven't actually turned up to open the present. We haven't actually got ourselves to the party. We haven't come to the feast. We haven't stood in the position for God to do the miraculous. And imagine a year where not just you, but where the body of Christ, and we haven't got control over that, only Jesus is leading that, but what we can do as a local church is position ourselves. And I want to talk about something this morning that I do think positions us. And Psalm 122 verse 1 says this. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Who gets up and says, oh yeah, we're going to church this morning, and it's like, oh. I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, we are going to position ourselves in the house of the Lord. We are going to position ourselves in a place of praise. We're going to position ourselves in a place of thankfulness. There's this amazing sense of joy and gladness about this psalm. It's full of a sense of expectation. So this morning, let's be glad. Let's be glad that we can worship God. Glad that He has brought us this far. Hey, I've just come back from a school reunion. I was in Devonport last night for a... I don't believe this, really. Can't believe it. But I was at a 40th year school reunion. So it's 40 years since I left high school. And so in a room of all these people about the same age, and, you know, all of us have had the same issues of aging at various levels. But what a privilege. What a privilege to be still there. What a privilege to be able to, you know, to meet all these people. What a privilege that we've come this far. And as I talk to all sorts of different people, everybody's been through a journey. Everybody's been through stuff, and nobody had lived a perfect life. You know, some people you might say were more blessed than other people, but everybody's had their challenges. Everybody's had their stuff. But you know, we can be glad that God has brought us this far. Or as the Old Testament says, thus far, Ebenezer, that God has been faithful to now because He will be faithful into the future. And as I was at that school reunion, I thought, wow, God has brought us this far. 40 years, you know, we've been out of school. And you know, most of us are still here. And you know, God is faithful thus far. And you can look at things in your life and you can say, well, gee, it's been a tough road and, oh, I've been through some stuff. Yeah, we have. Or you can, and that might be true, but you can also say, God is faithful. He will remain faithful and He's been faithful this far. So how are you going to go up to the house of the Lord? How are you going to approach God? How are you going to approach life? I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. I was glad that God has sustained us and blessed us through this year. See, glad language has a thankful sound and tone about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful. Be thankful when? When we've had a good year. Be thankful when we're bringing in the harvest. Be thankful when you get a tax return. Be thankful when you get a pay rise. Be thankful when you go to the supermarket and your groceries cost less because prices are going down. Be thankful. Be thankful when you go to the petrol pump and fuel has gone down. No, it says be thankful in all circumstances. You know, be thankful when your trolley is full and you swipe your credit card and it goes dying. Be thankful. Be thankful when you think, oh, gee, I've just filled my car with diesel and I need to get a mortgage. Be thankful. Let we be thankful in all circumstances. And it's a pretty straightforward verse. If I want to unpack the theology around it, it just says, be thankful all the time. All the time. Be thankful when it's all going down. Be thankful when it all blows up. Be thankful when it's amazing. Be thankful all the time. Just be thankful. And maybe that could be a hashtag. Be thankful. Just be thankful. You don't actually have to explain it. You don't have to have a reason. We've got all the reasons in the world, but it's a choice to be thankful. It's an attitude. It's a position. And here's the thing that I think we need to get hold of. Being thankful is a position of power. Because when you're not thankful, when you think that somebody else always owes you something, somebody should have respected you, somebody should have been kinder to you, somebody should have understood you, somebody should have given you that new role at work, somebody should have recognized the amazing gift of ministry on your life and promoted you to sister, a junior pope. You see, being thankful is a position of power because it empowers you when you're thankful. It's also a position of authority. See, when you're thankful, you're not just waiting. You're not just waiting for, you know, I imagine the Oliver Twist thing. Where you know everything blows up because he finally, everybody's been abused and mistreated, but he goes in this sort of position, please sir, can I have some more? And sometimes we're wanting the miracle and it's like, oh please God, would you just give me some more? Would you just bless me? But being thankful actually is a position of authority because you're standing in the victory you already have. You're standing in the blessings of God. You're standing in what you've got and you're not going cap in hand. You're walking boldly and confidently into whatever's in front of you because you're thankful that you're already blessed. Amen. Have you ever met, I mean, we're sort of probably all similar here, but have you ever met somebody from a really wealthy family or a really wealthy person? I'm not just talking about your doctor or your local tradie who's now charging $500 an hour. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about somebody of extreme wealth. But have you noticed that they perhaps live a little differently in some ways because somehow they know what they've got and they're not wondering where their next bit's going to come from? And there's a sense of authority, not even in them doing anything, just in the wealth that surrounds them. They actually walk in this authority. Now just let's think. You start to go through the rich list, you know. You think about the Packers and the Murdochs, and think about Gina Reinhart. You think about all these people that have got, you know, wealth beyond what most of us, you know, can get access to. But we are much more blessed than that. We have a God who, you know, Gina Reinhart might, you know, have all these mines and just unlimited resource in that sense, but we are sons and daughters of the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the gold in every mine, beyond what we can imagine. If we are thankful, we actually walk with a sense of authority. In other words, you are unrattled. You walk into situations, you know who you are, you know where you come from, you know what you've got, and you're thankful for it, and you will be different. People will say, wow, that they are walking with something that is different. It's also a position of gratitude. I would like 2024 to be the year of gratitude. Wouldn't it be different from where we're going and where we've been going? The year of gratitude. Like, I am grateful to my God. Oh, I'm grateful that I live in a blessed nation. I am grateful that we have actually got the capacity to welcome people from across the globe. I am grateful for the heritage that we have. Wouldn't it be amazing to make 2024 a year of gratitude? And I think you could actually change. We could actually change the course of this suburb, of this region, of Hobart, just by bringing gratitude into this suburb. You see, a position of thankfulness means you walk in gratitude, and it positions you, it makes you different to so much that is around us. Listen to the two preceding verses to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. These are really long verses. Always be joyful. That's a whole verse. Always be joyful. And the next verse is never stop praying. Bam, bam. Always be joyful. How do you do that? And I'm not saying you're supposed to be joyful when, you know, you just jammed your finger in the door of the car. You're going to let out a bit of something. But joy is something you carry. And it's something that if the Holy Spirit's alive in you, we allow that to be who we are. When it's going bad, when it's going to custard, we are. And these things are not, oh, you'll be joyful when, or you'll sort stuff out and you'll get your stuff together and you'll be joyful. It's not. It's just a straight out command in the writing. Be thankful. Always be joyful. And I think that the other one is there. Well, how do you do that? It's never stop praying. In other words, that awareness of God, that awareness of where He is, that awareness of Him being around you, that awareness of what He's done for you, that awareness that He's with you in every moment is what it means to never stop praying. And the more you are aware of Him, the more you have invited Him in, the more joy that will exude from your life because you are filled with more and more of the presence of God. Ephesians 5:19-20 says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now, I have to admit, I don't get up in the morning and sing a psalm to Alex. She'd slap me. Is that funny, Ben? Or I don't get up in the morning and sing her a hymn. But how often have you actually, and some of you are really good at it, you know, you send somebody a psalm or a verse or something. You say, hey, I'm believing this for you. I'm speaking this over your life. In other words, you know, you're singing or sometimes you send somebody a song. Hey, I was listening to this worship song. And, you know, you send a link to somebody and you say, hey, let's get this into your life, into your system at the moment. Or you're thinking of somebody and you ring them up and say, hey, I've just been thinking of you. I'm praying for you. So you can ring somebody up and you can have a good old gripe, a good old complaint, or you can ring somebody up and you're doing the equivalent of speaking to them with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, because you're bringing somewhat of the presence of God into that conversation. That's the difference in those things. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus. Thanksgiving is something we decide to do, as I've been saying. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, enter his courts with praise, give thanks to him. And praise his name. Again, it's something we choose to do. And I believe that this is intrinsic to bringing in, ushering in a season of miracles. A season of thanksgiving actually positions us for God to work amazing miracles. The more we are thankful, the more we decide to be thankful, the more we position ourselves for him to work. Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. Here, there's a because. I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. Thanksgiving actually aligns our will. Who's had a bit of trouble with their will sometimes? Yeah, I will. Thanksgiving will align your will. It actually aligns it with God just by thanksgiving. Sometimes you... I can remember years ago, it was when God really called us to a different level of serving him. And at the time, I had an auto electrical business and I was quite happy doing that. And I believed that I could do the business and work in ministry. And I remember really clearly, I was on a plane going to Sydney. And I picked up the in-flight magazine and I'm flipping through it. And funnily enough, I come across this ad. And the ad was just for Jacob's Creek wine. And I thought about how something that was very special to Alex and I was just about... I worked a lot of hours and we'd just about always go out for dinner on Friday nights. We'd catch up and that'd be our thing. And God had already been talking to us about going into a sort of a more full-time ministry type role, and it was like I looked at that and I thought, if I leave my source of income behind, there's going to be a whole lot of things I won't be able to do, and I start to get this sort of bit of fear about it. And God says, Dave, I want you to sell your business. And I'm like, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. We landed in Sydney. It was the first time they had Hillsong Conference at the Olympic Park. It was directly after the Olympics, so it must have been 2001 or something. And as I stood in an atmosphere of praise and worship and thankfulness, something must have been shifting in my will as it aligned more to God's purposes. And if that wasn't enough, first morning of the conference, it's the first time Jensen Franklin had been to Australia. He preaches this amazing message about Elijah and Elisha and breaking the plough. And it's like, I'm in there and God is just bam, bam, speaking to me. And I remember surrendering and saying, yep, I'll do it. I'll do what you say, Lord. It was a few years later when God really asked us to do that. But it was in that position of praise and thankfulness that my will aligned closer to His will. You see, praise, worship, thankfulness aligns your will with His will. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. In other words, with thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, we need. Goodness me. When I think about what, you know, we have vision for the church and for mission and a whole lot of things, we have got a big long list of, Lord, we need. But, you know, the answer to that is not just, oh, God, we need. The answer is present your petitions with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you that we are blessed. We thank you that you already have what we need. We thank you that we walk in blessing. We thank you that you are pouring out your blessing on us. We thank you that you are leading us into breakthrough. We thank you that you are the God of more. And then we position ourselves to him to pour his spirit out, pour his resource out, and do something among us. And then it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving is good for your soul. Thanksgiving is good for your soul. Hey, we need a dose of good soul stuff. In other words, things that actually repair our soul. This nation needs its soul repaired. And I can't see any way it can happen other than a move of God. And if we were to come into a position of gratitude, and we were to come into a position of thankfulness, we were to come into a position where we honour something greater than ourselves, I believe that our God will start to repair the soul of our nation. Come on, who's believing for things as audacious as that? That's what we got to see. And it doesn't start with our Prime Minister. It starts with you. It starts with us. It starts with the people of God who are actually going to lead the nation into the presence of God. Come on, we've got, you know, you are alive at this time because God wanted you alive at this time. There's stuff going down everywhere, but God chose you to be alive at this time because he wants you to be leading people into that position of thankfulness and a position where God can work. We can actually go through another year complaining about all the stuff. You know, I follow media and follow politics fairly closely, and I watch stuff, and sometimes I find myself just about throwing things at the TV, and I can be moaning about it, or I can be saying, I am part of leading people back to God. I am part of leading people into a place of gratitude and thankfulness where God can actually bless our nation. Come on, you're alive at this time because God has trusted you with that responsibility. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, let God's peace rule. Are you ruled by anxiety? Are you ruled by strife? Are you ruled by fear? Or are you ruled by the peace of God? Now, it doesn't mean those things won't exist. If you're going through anxiety, if you're suffering with some of those things, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean God's not there. But what it does mean is that the peace of God can actually be the thing that rules your life over top of that stuff. 2 Corinthians 4:15 and 16 says, all this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Here's a word for somebody this morning. Do not lose heart. In other words, hey, we've been through some stuff. I haven't seen the breakthrough. Come on, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. And then it goes on, it says, though outwardly We are wasting away. Anybody's had a bit of that? Anybody want to waste away a bit more after Christmas? Yet inwardly, you are being renewed day by day. Come on. Come on. Thankfulness allows renewal. I will also say that thankfulness allows revival, and thankfulness leads us into a place of breakthrough. I will praise before my breakthrough. Come on. Thankfulness allows generosity, and generosity in turn leads and circles us back to thankfulness. Hey guys, I'm wondering, Lizzie, can you grab yourself a helper and bring me up a whiteboard? I'm going to do something I've never ever done before, because and you can stay here with me, Lizzie. I'm going to make you write. Because if I write, you won't be able to read it. All right. I've been talking about the stuff. Here's where it gets real. We're a small enough group, we can do this. I asked people to send some things in. I had a lady that was thankful for her current situation. She was thankful that she has walked through a season that had been incredibly, incredibly difficult for her life, and she's praising God for what she has around her now. She's praising God for her home. She's praising God for the situation that she now finds herself, and she's thankful to His faithfulness for that. And it's her current situation. She's thankful for that. Somebody else sent me in and said, they are thankful that they have been welcomed into a local church. They've been welcomed into the house of God. They are thankful to be part of a family. What a great thing to be thankful for. And here's one from me. At the school reunion, as I walked around and talked to people, I found that, in fact, of all the people I talked to, there was only probably two or three that I spoke to that have been married to the one person all that time. I was in an incredible minority. Is that because I'm an amazing husband? Thank you, Pete. You know what it is? I have an amazing wife. That's it. That's totally it. So I am thankful for an amazing wife. I am thankful for a tolerant wife. I am thankful for the grace of God. Now listen to this. I am thankful for the grace of God on our marriage. So that's something that I am thankful for. And I can see other people here. I can see my parents here. They are actually celebrating their 80th birthday this week. Woo! They are thankful for their health and their family, and they are here. They are thankful that God has led them to. I always know how long they've been married, because I'm 56. That means they've been married 57 years. Sorry, Mum and Dad. They'd been married exactly a year when I came along, so none of that. So there you go. So many things to be thankful for. We could go through and there'd be other people here. Now, come on. We're going to position ourselves. We're going to go into a prayer meeting in a minute. But come on, start yell things out. I want the one liners. I don't want full testimonies. Health. There you go. Come on, let's bring some things out. Friends. I love it. Christ positioning. Well done, Nikki. Awesome. Wealth. Family. Is that? Yep. Great, Jose. How you going there, Lizzie? You keeping up?
Yes.
All right. Come on. Give us some more. Trust, I love it. Mission. Awesome.
Direction.
Yep. Guidance. Yep. Love. Fantastic. Come on, keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Renewal.
Renewal. Yep.
Pastors.
Pastor, pastor. Presence of God. Yep. Love it. Wealth.
Jobs.
Yep. Loyalty. Faith. Yep.
Peace.
We haven't got kids' church on today. Any of the kids down the back want to give us something they're thankful for? What about you, Asher? What are you thankful for, mate? You got a pretty great mum. Church, healing. Any others?
Leaders,
is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jumpers.
Jumpers? Are you a Queenslander? Someone's small group, yep.
Connect groups.
Connect groups, yep.
Hope.
Hope, love it.
Being set free.
Answered prayers. Sorry. I didn't get on board with the Singaporean accent there, Eva. Yeah.
Happiness.
Yeah. Yep. For the church. Well done, Kyle. Brilliant. See, we could go on. Will that swing around,
yeah,
is it? Love it. We've got all the gear here. All right. We're going to thank God for all that in a minute. But you can go into 2024 with your hearts full, with all that and a whole lot more. Or maybe it's been a bit of a difficult year and you go in like this, with empty hearts, waiting to be filled by negativity, disappointment, fear, hopelessness, betrayal. I can promise you, in this year to come, you will walk through. This is why I don't write. I can't even spell when I'm doing this. You. Sorry, this will descend into a comedy show if I keep going. But you will walk through disappointment. You will, actually you go, Lizzie, you will walk through loss. Hey, I met this, when I was at school reunion, this girl comes up to me and it was just so amazing to have name tags because there weren't that many people you could pick. And
And this girl comes up to me. Well, actually, you know, she's a 56-year-old lady. But anyway, she comes up to me and her name's Lisa. And she said, "Oh, Dave, we used to do projects together." She said, "You used to... I think they paired us because they were working on our strengths. We were good together with these projects. You used to have all the ideas and sort of do these sketches, and I used to write down all the words." You'll walk through loss at some level or another. You will walk through hurt. You will probably experience betrayal at some level. You will... Now, I tell you what, Lizzie, did you know, your name's not Lisa, and they would never, this is something, Lizzie works quite closely with Alex and I, and in that area, we're not a good pairing, are we?
No.
Yeah, so there you go. A-L, betray A-L. Anyway. Doesn't matter.
We know what you mean.
Yeah. You will experience those things and lots more. And you can either go into those things with emptiness or... You can go through being thankful for your situation because God is good. You can be thankful for a great marriage, or maybe you've lost your partner, but you're thankful for the blessing of God on the journey that you've been through. You're thankful for your church. You're thankful for your health. You're thankful for happiness. You're thankful for His presence. You're thankful for answered prayers. You're still believing for stuff. You might be in a difficult spot, but you're thankful for the peace of God that you carry. You're thankful that God has placed leaders in your world. You know, you're thankful for friends, for family, for trust, for mission. You're thankful for, you know, for guidance, love, faith, hope, and a whole lot more. We can go into this year with full heart. We're going to pray. If you're comfortable, let's stand. Come on, let's just start to thank God. You know, above all else, we are thankful for the goodness of God. We are thankful for His righteousness. We're thankful for His character. We are thankful more than anything that He made a way. We're thankful that Jesus died in our place. We're thankful that He dealt with the rubbish. We're thankful for His grace. We're thankful that we don't have to strive. We're thankful that he works in and through our brokenness. Come on, let's start to thank him and praise him. Lord Jesus, come on, in your own words. We're going to have, just start to pray. Those that are confident, just start to pray out loud. And just as people start to pray out loud, I believe that others will pick up on this. And, you know, get used to. Some of you are used to praying aloud in public and some of you are not. But I think we've got to get used to it. You've got to get used to the sound of praise coming out of your voice. You've got to get used to the sound of praise filling up the space around you. You've got to get used to the sound of your voice making a declaration of the goodness of God in any given situation. You've got to get used to those things happening, because that becomes normal for you and that becomes the atmosphere. See, the words that you speak out actually change the atmosphere around you. You see, when you have a grateful heart, when you have a thankful heart, you take authority over the atmosphere around you. Come on, let's start to praise him. Lord Jesus, we lift your name up. We thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you are righteous. We thank you that you are holy. We thank you that you came and you died for us. We thank you that your grace covers over a multitude of sin. We thank you that you've set us free. We thank you that you have been good to us. We thank you for our health. We thank you that we are standing here. We thank you that we are incredibly blessed. We thank you that we're not fighting for victory, that we fight from victory. Come on, let's keep these things coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Father, we claim your presence here. We claim your presence to be here. It's not a